Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the desert, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. He proclaimed the gospel of God. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are now in the 40 days of Lent. 40 days of Lent, of course, are 40 days long because Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. He fasted, he ate nothing, and he was tempted during the entire 40 days by the devil. Ash Wednesday, this past Wednesday, began the season of Lent. Ashes upon our head in the sign of a cross. Ashes for repentance in the sign of the cross. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as we see today, is the second Adam. The church year is now in the penitential season of the year. It's not a sad time of the year. It's a meditative time of the year. There is still great joy during Lent. In honor of this season and in anticipation of Easter, it's true, we don't sing any more hallelujahs till Easter Sunday. And the 40 days of Lent, which doesn't include the Sundays, because each Sunday is still recalling the Lord's resurrection, we are preparing for Holy Week. Palm Sunday, when Jesus enters in upon the donkey to the hosannas. Monday, when he clears the temple. Tuesday and Wednesday of Holy Week, he teaches in the temple courts. Maundy Thursday institutes Holy Communion. Good Friday is crucified, rests in the tomb on Holy Saturday, and on Easter Sunday is raised. But the 40 days of Lent are meaningless unless they have an impact on you and me. So I ask, what is Lent for you? We hand out Lenten devotional booklets, which we encourage you to read them every single day, in the morning or in the evening, to focus your hearts on Christ during the 40 days of Lent. We have Wednesday evening Lenten Vespers services. O Christ, You Walk the Road is our theme, and you can join us on Wednesday evenings. You can spend more time in prayer and meditation. Some people, even during the season of Lent, once a week on Wednesday, skip lunch and use that time to do their devotion. And for one day, one meal, I should say, of the week, take in the bread of the Word of God rather than the actual bread. But for you and for me, as we are in the 40 days of Lent, we know this. The kingdom of heaven is near in the person of Jesus the King, who is the second Adam. He calls us to repent and believe the gospel. The first thing we must consider today is what's really going on in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. This is really what's going on. Jesus is the second Adam, and he has appeared. He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness as our substitute, as the second Adam. He is now being tempted by the devil for 40 days, will overcome the devil's temptations for us, as the second Adam who has come to undo the curse that was brought by the first Adam. If you understand Jesus is the second Adam in our place, you understand what's going on with his temptation. He's doing this for all mankind in our place. Jesus the second Adam was known by the people in the first century as Jesus of Nazareth, which is way up north in Galilee. From this town of Nazareth, Jesus was seen as the carpenter's son, the son of Joseph. We know his true father was God, of course. So he comes from Galilee up north by Nazareth and journeys down to Judea, down by Jerusalem, and then goes east out to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And recall, John is saying, you should baptize me. I shouldn't baptize you. But Jesus says, John, we must do this to fulfill all righteousness, meaning Jesus as the second Adam went into the water as representation of all mankind. And there in the water, when the Spirit descends like a dove, when the Father's voice says, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased," God is not well pleased with us who came from the first Adam. He is well pleased with Jesus, his Son, the second Adam. Immediately after he is baptized, the Spirit drives him into the wilderness for 40 days. He's driven out, and he's tempted by Satan. And now we see the next thing the second Adam's going to do. He's going to defeat the devil for us. Now, Mark is the only gospel that just summarizes the temptation and doesn't list all three like Matthew and Luke do. Recall the other Gospels say that three of the temptations the devil threw at him were, if you're the Son of God, turn the stones to bread. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple. Didn't he say, the angels will watch over you? If you're the Son of God, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus is with the wild animals. The angels will come and minister to him. But did you realize that in the three temptations, the second Adam is experiencing exactly the same temptations that Adam and Eve experienced in Genesis 3? In the first temptation of Adam and Eve, Satan says to them, "Go ahead, eat the fruit. Don't trust the Lord to provide your daily bread. Go ahead and eat the fruit." Just like the devil tells Jesus, go ahead, turn the stones into bread. Don't trust God. Give yourself some food. To Eve and to Adam, he says in a lie, "Oh, you won't die. Go ahead, risk it. You're not going to die if you eat that." And to the second Adam, the devil says, "Throw yourself down from the temple. You won't die." Of course, he's the father of lies. And then the third temptation, he tells Eve and Adam, "Don't you want to eat from that fruit? Don't you want to be like God?" And Jesus says to, the devil says to Jesus, "Bow down, worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You'll be like a god." Whereas the first Adam and Eve fell for the devil's temptations, the second Adam overcame the temptations. And every step of the way, if you look in the Gospels, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, do not tempt the Lord your God. We don't live by bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God." As a human being, using the word of God at the devil, he overcame the temptations of the devil. The second Adam, therefore, as our substitute, baptized to fulfill all righteousness, and now, as the second Adam, has defeated the devil's temptations in this initial attack. Of course, there will be many other attacks by Satan during the rest of his ministry, but he begins his ministry setting the tone, "I have come in mankind's place, and I have come to defeat death and the devil." If you understand Jesus is the second Adam, and that's what's happening, then you will get what the meaning of the temptation in the wilderness is. Now, after Jesus has experienced both of those events, his baptism and temptation, then his preaching begins. He's 30 years old, and he's basically preaching two things. Since the kingdom of heaven is God, the kingdom of God is fulfilled and is present now in myself, what are the two things he says? Repent, believe the gospel. Sounds simple. It isn't. The kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus says, repent. After John the Baptist was arrested, and of course, he was arrested after all of his faithful preaching and would eventually be beheaded by Herod, Jesus now comes from Galilee into Judea. And now he proclaims the gospel of God. He says, the time is fulfilled. He's saying that in him, all the prophecies of the Old Testament are fulfilled. Not just some of them, not just a few of them, but the whole thing. from Genesis to Malachi, the promises of the Messiah are all fulfilled in one man, Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is at hand or is near. Wherever the king is present, there is the kingdom. When Jesus is present, because he's the king, the kingdom of God is present. And he says, repent. What does repent mean? Admit your sins of thought, word, and deed. Admit them, confess them, and turn from them. Recall what James said this morning, that when we are tempted, we've not been tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he tempts no one. Every person is tempted, lured, and enticed by his own sinful desire that gives birth to sin, and then it's fully grown, and it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, he said. In other words, because of the original sin we inherit from Adam and Eve, even when we're conceived in our mother's womb, we are besieged by the temptations of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. From the moment we are conceived, from the moment we come forth from our mother, because of our original sin inherited like the DNA and the color of our eyes, we commit actual sins of thought, word, and deed. We commit evil deeds. We omit to do the good. This is why we have private confession, when you can come in confidentiality and confess to me as your pastor your sins and hear absolution. This is why we have public confession of our sins like we did this morning. Sins of thought, word, and deed. And the pastor is used by Jesus to speak his word of absolution and forgiveness to you. And this is why daily repentance in our baptism is every day drown the old Adam so the new man can come forth. And so like Luther said, every day is a day of repentance. One of the reasons that we sing A Mighty Fortress on the first Sunday in Lent, although I will say we as Lutherans will use any excuse to sing that hymn, is that verse on the third verse, which exactly ties to the first Sunday in Lent. Jesus overcame the devil with the word of God. Luther writes, though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, he shall not overpower us. For he says, one little word can fell him. One word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, will stop the devil in his tracks. And because we are connected to the second Adam in our baptism, we have the Holy Spirit, we have power to do battle against the devil. We don't have to give in to him because we are connected to Christ, the second Adam. One little word of God stops the devil in his tracks. And that is why you are here on Sundays at the Divine Service, hearing God's word, believing it, taking Holy Communion, and remembering your baptism, because the word of God is the sword of the Spirit against the devil. And secondly, Jesus is preaching, as the kingdom of heaven is near, believe the good news. Believe. I asked before what repent means. I ask you now, what does believe mean? Believe means to accept, to have faith, to trust, to rely on, to be firmly convicted and convinced, to stake your life upon this. And what is the good news, which is the word gospel means good news. It's the same word. Gospel, good news is the same word. We've already talked about it. This is the good news. The second Adam has appeared. He's our substitute. He's our sacrifice. He's our Savior. As was foretold in Genesis, that God will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Everything Abraham was doing in being willing to sacrifice Isaac, his son, his only son, whom he loved. God intends this as a type of Christ. For God knew that he would not have Isaac sacrificed. He knew that he would provide the ram in the thicket to take the place of Isaac. This is all pointing to Christ. Jesus will be, if you will, the ram in the thicket. He will be the lamb that will take our place. He will be sacrificed on the mount of the Lord in our place. And it is not coincidence that the place Abraham takes Isaac for the sacrifice is called Mount Moriah. You know what Mount Moriah is? It's the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It's the same place. Over this place is where the temple was built by Solomon. Mount Zion is the same place as Mount Moriah. Little did Moses know that 1,000 years later at this spot, Solomon would build a temple at this spot on Mount Moriah. And just off from the Temple Mount is Calvary, where Christ was crucified. So in that temple where Passover lambs were offered as a type of Christ, right by that mount to the side of it, Christ will be crucified on Calvary. Not in a thicket, but upon a cross. Not upon a table there at Mount Moriah or altar, but upon the altar of the cross. On the mountain of the Lord, that is Mount Calvary, it will be provided. The good news is this, as James said this morning. The Father who did this is called the Father of lights. Every perfect gift comes down from God. Because God is light, there's no variation, there's no shadows in Him. Of His own will, He brought forth the Word of truth. His Son, Jesus Christ, is Word of truth incarnate. And through Jesus, we're the first fruits. We're the beloved ones. As we remain steadfast, He says, you will receive the crown of life promised by God to those who love Him because of that Lamb provided in our place, Jesus. So in conclusion, time has come to pay attention to the proclamation of the law and gospel. During the 40 days of Lent, with prayer and with fasting, may we realign our lives in our relationship to our God through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the second Adam who came to undo the curse and bring the blessing, to overcome temptation and bring righteousness on behalf of all mankind. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. What is Lent for you? Greater devotion and commitment to attend the divine service on Sunday. Join us for Lenten Vesper services on Wednesday. Read your Lenten devotions every day. Time for prayer and for meditation during the 40 days of Lent. We will heed the word of Jesus, the second Adam. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now the peace surpassing our human understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.